that only Jesus can aspire to what I'm going to try to do today. As he said, my name is Jared Branham, and I feel like I'm coming home. I went to school at Union College, and in Union College in Lincoln, Nebraska, where it's so cold that your hair freezes before you get to class. There was a church there by the name of Allen Chapel in which they asked me to do my internship at, and it was an eclectic group of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, and I look out and I see the same thing here. It warms my heart to know that there is a church out there where there's no segregation, but integration. And I look out and I see you guys, and I know that though my voice may fail, I'm going to hear back from you guys because I've heard from you all day today. I want to commend you guys in what you guys do. There is a saying out there, and you guys can finish it for me. A church that prays together. And I watch you guys do it. To bear each other's burdens, as James says. You guys are doing a wonderful ministry within each other. For Pastor Shane Davis, he doesn't know this, but one night, it was cold, it was at camp meeting. You know what Pastor Shane Davis's job is out there, and he was with Pastor Ben Lundquist, and the speaker of the time, his name is Jonathan Leonardo, is myself, a guy by the name of Jonathan Pacross, you might know him, and Robbie Parrish. And as we sat there, we just simply talked as men, and where men are lacking in this culture, and where men are doing and not doing. In a matter of 10 minutes of Pastor Shane Davis talking, he taught me more about integrity and standing up to be a man than I had learned in my previous 30 years of life. You have an incredible person here. Very few times do you get to see in your lifetime a thermostat. See, a lot of people are thermometers. They walk into the room and then they go down to the temperature or they go up to the temperature of what the room is saying. But Pastor Davis, when he walks in the room, they all conform to him. And him is Jesus Christ in him. As where he is, Christ follows. I commend you guys. I come here not by myself. I come here with my family. A salt and peppered haired mother, a beautiful wife, a beautiful daughter, and a really heavy young son who is almost 3 months old. He is 15 pounds. I have stopped working out because he is my workout, just trying to rock that man to sleep at night. It's an incredible, incredible experience. I've had friends all the way from D.C. that I've known for over 30 years that have done incredible things with me in ministry. I love the fact that you guys are here. I want to start this off with a hymn for Christmas that we have already sang before, but it hits the crux of the sermon that we're going to sing today. You know, I want to give God the glory. Five days ago, I woke up and I didn't have a voice. Today, my voice, though it's shaky, at least I can speak. He's faithful. I told Jesus that I was going to take a step away from preaching and ministry that I might attend to my family more closely. And I woke up about 5 months ago, and I had the burden to preach. And I said, "Where, Lord?" And he said, "Chandler Church." I said, "No, no, sir, no, thank you. I'm not following Pastor Shane Davis. No, thank you." And then I got asked to do a Bible study, and at that Bible study, a nice, beautiful young lady walks up to me and asks me, what church do I subscribe to? This was a non-denominational Bible study. And I said, "Oh, I subscribe to the Adventist faith." And she said, "Oh, that's nice. Where do you go to church?" I said, I go to Adventist Worship Center." She goes, "Oh, I go to Chandler. You should come talk to us." Come on. When the Lord calls, you got to go. So the Lord is going to do something today. I don't know. I can't wait to see. Hark the herald, angel sings. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn King. And here's the crux for me. Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus Christ our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. In his likeness now we pale, so stand so imminent in his grace. Second Adam from above, reinstate a sin by love. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Bow your heads with me. Father God, I am unworthy. I am yet a sinner in the hands of a mighty God. I recognize as you breathe, stars are created. In the palms of your hands, our supercluster is resting ever so softly. When you walk by, people are healed. Nations are restored. Grounds put forth fruit. And yet right now, Lord, I just want to proclaim your gospel. So I'm asking Heavenly Father that you hide me behind the cross. You make me an instrument. You play me like you've never played me before. And that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My intent today is to simply exalt Jesus so high that none of y'all have an option but to come to him. That's what I want to do today. But I want to do it through some understanding, through building an argument, and through preaching the gospel of King Jesus. But I have to lay some ground rules for you today, because if I don't lay these ground rules, you're going to be like, why did I even come up with some of this stuff? So the first ground rule, I'm going to throw out the question to you guys so you guys can get practice talking back to me, because I like conversations. So conversations, this is how they work. I talk, you talk, we talk, and this is a conversation. So I'm going to start it off this way. What is this great controversy over? Huh? People, is that what I'm hearing? I have terrible hearing, I'm sorry. What is this controversy over? Good and evil. Okay, I like good and evil. We're going to break it down even a little bit more. If you want to break it down a little bit more, we have a good book. We call it The Great Controversy. If you know the whole title, what is it? The Great Controversy of God and Satan. Okay, but let's take it even further. Now, some people want to believe that this great controversy is over them. Sorry to burst your bubble. This is not over the people of the universe, people of earth. How do we know that? Well, because there's a battle before people were even created. This is in heaven. There was a huge battle that ensued. And Satan made proclamations about God. And in essence, this is a sermon for a different time, but in essence, the proclamation he made was, God is a big liar. He's a liar. You cannot follow his statutes. You cannot follow his laws. He is not just. He is not loving. All the things that he proclaims to be is not what we want to be a part of right here. And so what we find is this great controversy is not necessarily only about good and evil. Yes, it is good and evil. Not only over us. Yes, we are a part of this. Not only good and evil. Not only are we a part of this, but this is over the character and the nature of God. The character and the nature of God. And in the character and nature of God, it is the highest and most lofty thing ever. And it will not be brought down. It will not be changed. And it will prevail. That's the first thing. The second thing I want to ask you guys is, does God look differently at you when you sin? No, thank you. Thank you for saying no. Do we look at God differently when we sin? Yes. How gross is that? We make the mistake and he suffers for it, right? Adam makes the sin. Was Jesus stomping in the cool of the day? Is that what the Bible says? With fury in his fists? No. He came gently in the cool of the day. And Adam said, let's go. We're not, come on. Cover themselves with leaves. And the next statement is what? Who told you were naked? What a gross statement to be said. I want to make sure that we understand these two concepts as we go. Know that God's character will not be brought down. Know that it will not change. And know that it will prevail. So we have this thought process. If God tries to get a hold of, and this is in Genesis and Exodus specifically, if God wants to get a hold of one person, namely Moses, how does he get a hold of Moses? Lights a bush on fire. We do that here. It's called arson. When Jesus does it, man, he can do it all he wants, right? Moses is walking by, and he looks, and there is a bush on fire. A great bush on fire, but it's not being consumed. And Jesus says, take off your shoes, because you're on what? Can I break that down for you? Just do a quick commercial for you guys real quick. The most humiliating or thing that can bring you humbleness in that culture was to take your shoes off in or outside of your tent, where there could be some sheep apples laying around. Since Moses was a sheep herder, there was sheep apples everywhere. One of the most humbling things he could do was to take off his shoes. He takes off his shoes not only because the ground is holy, but to humble himself so he can hear the Lord. Church, today, can we humble ourselves so we can hear the Lord? Now, if he lights a bush on fire to get a hold of one person, what does he light on fire to get a hold of a nation? A mountain. A whole mountain set ablaze. We understand that the Passover happens, and 50 days from Passover, you have the stop process of the day of Pentecost. And the first day of Pentecost, we have fire. Fire that is present, not only on the top of the mountain, but consuming what? The whole mountain. The whole mountain is set ablaze. Why is the whole mountain set ablaze? It's found in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. I got Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, and it reads as such. And you shall be for me a kingdom of priests. Oh, it doesn't say the other part in this one. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you should speak to the children of Israel. I'm going to go ahead and phrase it a different way. You shall be for me a kingdom of priests and kings. So who does God want to make priests and kings? The whole nation. The whole nation he wants to set it up. And let's make this understanding clear. He wants to make you priests that you are about your Father's business. Anybody here been baptized? You're not about your business anymore. You're about your Father's business. Now check this out. When you're about your Father's business, he does something for you. He does something for you. And this is why he calls you a kingdom of priests and kings. Kings comes authority. And when you go out in the authority of who? Jesus. You're not alone. All of heaven is beside you. And if you need somebody else, come get me. I'll come with you. But as God starts speaking, I love you. Check this out. What's going on? How's this going? And he starts proclaiming some stuff. The children of Israel get really afraid. And in Exodus 20, we hear what their reply to him was. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings and flashes, the surrounding trumpets and the mountain smoking, because it was on fire. Don't smoke. This is only a mountain that could do that. When the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And then they said to Moses, and now this is, come on, man. If Jesus speaks to you, please don't say this. You speak to us and we will hear, but let not God speak to us lest we die. Man, God was trying to talk to him. And we didn't want to hear him. I can't blame them because I know this has happened in my own life where God has said go. And I look back on the regretted times in which I didn't. Fortunately, God is persistent and he woke me up yet again to preach at Chandler Church, and I'm here today. I want to help you understand that because they didn't want to come into community with God as Moses was with God, he has to now present himself. Israelites just left what? Egypt. Now, in Egypt, do you think they're indoctrinated with some theology? We call it polytheology. A bunch of different gods, a bunch of different thought processes, a bunch of different aspects. And now what God has done is he has presented himself as powerful. Not the 10 plagues, not only the Red Sea, but he follows them in a cloud by day and a fire by night. And he leads them and guides them and nurtures them with manna from heaven. And he tries to show them that he is loving. And we find this in our own lives. And you guys can see it in your own lives. Because you know what? The Lord is our shepherd. And we shall not want. You know what he does? He makes us lie down in green pastures. What kind of sheep lies down in green pastures? A full one. Because hungry sheep keep eating when they're standing upright.